Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the second lesson, especially a portion of verse 11. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This is the text. And it is an amazing thing. And so we start meditating on the question of what does the Holy Spirit do? Which, however, means we have to spend a moment on what does the Holy Spirit not do? Let me make this brief and sum it up all in one thought. The thing the Holy Spirit does not do is the Holy Spirit does not get out in front and make himself the center of attention and say, look at me, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Holy Spirit never does that. And you look through the Bible, all of the passages that speak of the work of the Holy Spirit, and you will find that consistently all the way through, what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus Christ. Just that simple. Oh, you could go back through the Old Testament. Holy Spirit comes on Isaiah. And what does Isaiah begin to tell about? The virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel. And on and on and on after that. Very consistent. You go to the Psalms and the Psalms by David and the other psalm writers. And what are the Psalms about? Very simply, they are either about Jesus and telling about him, or they are the prayer book of Jesus. And everything goes back to being about Jesus. You get to the New Testament and the Holy Spirit comes upon John the Baptist. This brings it into clear focus. Because what does John the Baptist do? He stands by the Jordan River and he points and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so you come to Pentecost. And the disciples, with the Holy Spirit poured out on them, suddenly are able to know, understand, and speak all of those different languages. And they are led to go out and start telling about, what's the text say? Telling about the mighty acts of God. What are those mighty acts of God? Well, the mighty acts of God might include miracles and parting of the Red Sea and casting down the walls of Jericho. Other things that we're going to hear about in Vacation Bible School during this next week. But what are the mightiest acts of God? The mighty acts of God are about what happened in a stable in Bethlehem. The coming of Jesus into the world. And the life of Jesus and his prayers and his fasting and his preaching and his healing and his telling about the Father who loves us, and it all keeps on centering around Jesus. The message the Holy Spirit brings is about a Savior who went to the cross to die for us, to rise for us, so that we might have forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. And what the Holy Spirit does is he works that message from God into our hearts so that that Word of God spoken to us may capture us, connect us with God, connect us with eternity and eternal life, so that that message from God may bring everything that God has to give us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was about to ascend into heaven and the disciples asked him, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? He said to them, you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit was to come upon them so that he could, so that they could be the witnesses of Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit could preach Jesus through their tongues and in their languages, whatever their languages ended up being. And so God designs it, that the message of salvation begins to spread through the world. And miracle of miracles puts that message in Greek and Latin and French and German and finally into English, and you get to hear it, and you get to have the Word of God planted in your heart and in your soul and come to faith in Jesus Christ and know God in Jesus Christ and live forever. That's the plan. Now, it is the plan that somebody has to work inside our hearts in order to do this. Somebody has to do that job. Why does somebody have to do that job? You could recite with me the first part of the explanation of the third article of the Creed, because you all learned it in confirmation and still remember it, right? And if you want to join in, join in. It goes like this. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. We'll stop there. I don't want to push you into the other paragraphs of that, but that's the heart of it. It has to be done because I cannot do it. I cannot go and gather the information about Jesus Christ and decide that I am going to be a Christian. I can't do it. There's something in the heart before the work of the Holy Spirit, something in the heart that always seems to go off the wrong direction. You doubt that? Turn on the news. Enough said. Something in the heart that always seems to go the wrong way. And so, God has to give his Spirit so that there is that change at the deepest part of who we are. I'll take you through two other little passages. One is from the gospel lesson where Jesus said, "He who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And in that passage, he is connecting straight through to, well, we've been hitting on this time and time again in our Bible studies, straight through to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 starts at verse 24. And it's about the work of the Holy Spirit. And God says, "I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will pour clean water on you. I will give you my Spirit so that you will be careful to observe my ordinances." Without the work of the Holy Spirit, what are we? Dead in sin. And dead in sin not meaning just laying there. Dead in sin meaning rebelling against God, going the wrong direction. And we need the change down at the beginnings of who we are. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So I can't change myself from the inside out. I can't do it. I get down as deep as I can, and there's still more underneath. And I can't dig down and change all of that. But the Holy Spirit has. He called me by the gospel. That's the message about Jesus Christ. He called me by the gospel, and he told me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He called me by the gospel, and he told me that my sins were forgiven, and that I was being given life through Jesus Christ. He called me by the gospel, and where I wouldn't have believed that, not in a million years, the Holy Spirit did His work, planting the Word deep inside my heart and my soul, so that surprise on surprise, I find that I absolutely know Jesus is the Savior. He is the one. Surprise upon surprise, I know absolutely that I am loved by God. How did I come to that conclusion? It was the Holy Spirit. And then, here comes the twist. You are right in the middle of it. Because after God has had His gospel spoken, the message about Jesus Christ spoken, from one mouth to another ear, from that mouth then to another ear, and on through the generations, and on from town to town and city to city, and from language to language, it finally comes to you, and God has planned this. He planned it all out before you ever came into being. He knew you and decided that He wanted you to be with Him in His kingdom, and He wanted you to live forever with Him, and He wanted to take all of His blessings and all of the sweetness of what God can do, all of the everything that God can make for the joys, for the blessing of us for all eternity, and He wanted you to be a part of that and experience that. That was His plan from before the first beginnings of the world. That's the first part of what's so sweet. The second part is, and you're in the middle of it. Didn't we just say that? Yeah, you're in the middle of it, but in a different way. I'm going to give you an illustration that some may have heard, most have not. And you're going to hear it at first sentence, and you're going to say, what? Okay, it's the illustration of the bicyclist's knee. Yeah, you're going, what? Well, this happened probably about 20 years ago. I was on a bicycle tour across Iowa. And I'd gotten a nice new bike with different pedals and fancy bike shoes that clip on, and it was great. And so I started riding, and after the first day, my knees were sore. I go, what? Second day, man, did they hurt. Finally, I went to one of the bicycle shops, and the mechanic said, here, get on your bike, let me see. So I did. And he looked, and he said, well, there's your problem. What? What? See, the pedal was a little bit thicker, and the shoe with the clip was a little thicker. And I hadn't accounted for that when I changed the pedals and the shoes. So my knee was not straightening out properly the way that it should. It wasn't going to full extension. And when you do that for 70 miles a day, and you do it not properly, pain. So he made the adjustment, raised the seat, and everything was good after that. Now here's the illustration. Christianity and knowing about Jesus Christ leads to something in our lives. And it's like the bicyclist's knee. What it leads to is that you have this message of life within you. It's in your soul. It's in your heart. What are you going to do with it? Well, the answer is, it has to come out of your mouth, doesn't it? Somebody must hear. It's got to be from your heart, out your mouth, into somebody's ear, and that may be, well, that may be a stranger on the street, it may be a neighbor, more often, children and grandchildren. So you're doing the work of Pentecost when you read your child a Bible story, doing the work of Pentecost when you teach them their prayers. You're doing the work of Pentecost when you tell about Jesus and how Jesus loves them. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to take this message of Jesus and spread it from ear to ear to ear to ear to ear till the whole world is full of that teaching. And you're in the middle of it. And how sweet it is to not just have the message of Jesus tucked away in the heart, but have it being spoken. And if you try and take that message of Jesus Christ, I know the full measure of God's love, but I'm not going to tell you. That's not natural, is that? And so, this is part of what the Holy Spirit does. Quietly, in families, friendships, and it spreads. And the message of Jesus goes out, goes into the world. And people we have never heard about in far corners of the world hear the same message: your sins are forgiven because of Jesus. He took you, a sinner, carried your sins away, and he calls you to know him and live forever. Just that simple. In Jesus' name, amen.